Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Terry began our Advent series last week with a message about life. We are using games that we play together, games that we play as families, as kind of jumping off points for our Advent series. And last week was about the game of life and the choices and consequences and how Mary had lived her life in such a way that an angel appeared to her and said, "You are highly favored." It was her choices that she had made to that point that allowed her to be the handmaiden of God. And this week we are going to talk about Scrabble. My grandmother loved to play Scrabble, and my mom likes to play Scrabble, and we play Scrabble together sometimes. And I think that Scrabble is an interesting metaphor for life, because the resources, the tiles, are randomly distributed, but they're not always evenly distributed. You can wind up with a line of A's and an O, and you have to do something with that. And it's up to you to do your best with what you get. And sometimes, no matter how well you play the game, on your last draw, you can get the Q, right? With no use in sight at all. I hope you were listening to the song as the ladies danced when they were singing the We Three Kings song, because we're going to talk about the Magi today and how they were dealt these little bits of information. But I have a couple things to get us in a Scrabble mood, a Scrabble mindset. First, I found this commercial that someone made for Scrabble that I want us to watch together, and I hope that you're amused. Joe?
You wanted to see me?
Yeah. Why don't you take a seat? You know, the past couple of weeks you've been asking me to do a bit too much work.
Well, I've been trying to.
You're too demanding for me. I'm going to have to let you go.
Is there anything I can do to...
Right? Terry, who likes to tell people he's my boss, says, "Be careful." All I got to say is 15 points, man. This is how Scrabble works at my house. The best way to play Scrabble at my house is to do this. You set up the games, put the board in the middle of the table, you deal out the tiles, everyone gets 7 tiles. Then you take your score sheet, and you write the names of the players across the top of the score sheet. Under Julie's name, you write 34,682. Under your name, you write 4. And then you go find something else to do. That's how it works at my house. Because Julie, I mean, it's not that her words are that great. I mean, they're okay. But if anyone can find a way to put a Z, which is 10 points, on the triple letter score, Julie can find a way to do that. And she knows how to play the game, and she just smokes us all. But we're going to play Scrabble. We're going to play Scrabble kind of in our heads. In your bulletin, it says Christmas across the top, or it's supposed to anyway. I didn't check to make sure that happened. But I put some stuff up here, okay? So here's your opportunity to beat Julie at Scrabble, if that were humanly possible at all right? You got Christmas at the top, and then you have these random letters below. And I'm going to challenge you to make some words out of that, okay? Just do it in your head. You got about 10 seconds. We're going to move through this quickly. But take a look at that and see what you would make out of that for about that long. Joe, will you show us the next slide, please? This is what I came up with. I came up with N and star, and I had some letters left over. Bonus points if you spelled rats instead of star. Anybody do that? Okay. So here we have some more letters at the bottom. M-E-R-N-G-A-I. So think about what you would do with that. And Joe, if you would show us the next slide, please. This is what I did. Oh. My grandmother would be proud. We had another option, I think. Joe, show us the next option. If you didn't want to spell angel, you could spell magi. Right? How about that? Anybody matching me letter for letter yet? Congratulations if you are. You don't get any bonus points. Joe, do we have another one or is that it? No, we got that one there. I win. It's this idea of taking these random bits of information, these letters, and forming them into words. There's lots of potential there. And we get to form them into words and ideas. And this whole bit about the random information being formed into letters and words and ideas really does have a place in the Christmas story. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. He was disturbed. What was so disturbing about the Magi showing up in Jerusalem? Why did this put everyone in a tizzy? I mean, how could the Magi know? And why would they care about a little baby who was born in a little town far, far away? We need to take a minute to look at who these Magi were. Traditions have come around, and we say that they were three of them, and we say that they were kings, and some traditions have given them names which I can't pronounce, and all this stuff about these Magi, but I want to take a look today at who the Magi really were. The Magi had been around a long, long, long time. They were a hereditary priesthood. Starting in Babylon, they were the men who would make decisions. They were very educated. They were astronomers. They were philosophers. They were very, very, very good at interpreting dreams, which in that culture was very important. We have a strange dream and we wake up and we dismiss it as something that we had eaten the night before. The people in the East took dreams very seriously. Take a look as you sit down through this Advent season and you read the story of the birth of Christ. Just count how many dreams are mentioned in that story. The Magi were very good at interpreting dreams, and they had been around for about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And they were this group of astronomers and philosophers and interpreters of dreams and priests that served in the Babylonian kingdom, which later became the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, which later became the kingdom of the Parthians. But throughout all those changes of those kingdoms, the Magi remained as the priests and the advisors to the government. In fact, the Magi was a hereditary thing. You were born into a family that you got to be a Magi after all your training and everything else. The kings were not hereditary. The kings were appointed by the Magi. A king would be getting close to the end of his reign, and the Magi would gather. And they would look at things. They would look at the stars. They would talk. They would look at dreams that they and others were having. And they would decide who the king was going to be. They were the kingmakers. They had this dual role as government official and priests. And at the time of Christ's birth, we had gone through all this thing from the Babylonians to the Medes and the Persians to now the Parthians. At the time of Christ's birth, the Parthian nation was still quite strong. We talk about the Romans riding in and taking over Jerusalem, but they had a fight on their hands. The fight was from the Parthians, who came and actually guarded Jerusalem and defended it against the Romans as they took over. So there's this constant conflict with the Romans, and they're fighting for control of the lands in the Middle East, especially Israel. And at the time that Jesus was born, there was a Parthian king who was getting ready to die, and the Magi were looking to make a decision of a king. So when these kingmakers show up in Jerusalem, it made everybody nervous. Because Herod had been given the title King of the Jews by Augustus Caesar just to give him a title of authority over the Jews. His King of the Jews title that he had was illegitimate and everybody knew it. They had to call him something. So they called him King of the Jews. And when the Magi show up and appear before Herod and say, "Tell us where the King of the Jews is to be born," everybody went nuts because this was a big, big deal. That these powerful, revered, respected, mysterious men travel 800 miles. And it wasn't just three guys on three camels. Horses and soldiers and camels and wagons. It was a big train that they come rolling into Jerusalem and say, "Tell us about the King of the Jews." Made everybody really nervous. So that's who the Magi were. But it brings us back to the question about why would they really care about the birth of Jesus? And this is where, to me, it gets really, really interesting. 600 years before the birth of Christ, Nebuchadnezzar, who was king of Babylon, overthrew Jerusalem. He conquered Jerusalem, and we talked about this in the summer as part of God's judgment on Jerusalem because of their disobedience and continuing to follow idols. But Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, comes in and he overthrows Jerusalem and he takes the brightest and the best back to Babylon to be educated, to be enculturated. And among those that he took was a young man whose name was Daniel. And God gave Daniel an incredible ability to interpret dreams. Remember? Dreams, very important. Remember? Magi are the interpreters of dreams. And here we have Daniel, 600 years before Jesus is born, taken into Babylon, and he's given an opportunity to interpret a dream that the king had, a dream that upset him greatly. And Daniel came forward, and he interpreted the dream. If you haven't read Daniel lately, you need to read Daniel. It's fascinating. Daniel interprets the dream, and the king is so pleased and so impressed that he takes Daniel, this Jewish exile from way down there in Jerusalem, and he says, "You are the chief magi. You are in charge of all these wise men. You, Daniel, the foreign kid, are going to be head of this hereditary priesthood. You're in charge." as you read. Babylonians fall, the Medes and the Persians come in, the Magi remains, and Daniel is still in charge. As you read and you understand the position that Daniel was put in, the whole story of the lion's den and him being thrown under that bus makes a whole lot of sense. But Daniel, this Magi, far away from home, 600 years before Jesus was born, begins to write of his visions. Visions of kingdoms rising and falling. Visions of Israel being restored. Visions of an innocent Messiah king who would be killed at the hands of his own people. He wrote these things. He also wrote a very confusing, very obscure, very mysterious timetable as to when the Messiah would appear, as to when kingdoms would rise and fall, as to when Israel would be restored, as to when the end of time would come. He wrote this very mysterious thing that only a Magi could begin to understand. And for 600 years, the Magi would return to the writing of Daniel, and they would look at the skies, and they would look at the things around, and they would see the time marching on and on and on. The Magi would have known of another prophet whose name was Balaam, who wasn't a person of God, but God spoke through him anyway. And Balaam wrote of a star rising out of the family of David. And they kept track of the calendar. And they watched their sky. And they knew their role. And when the time came, they assembled these bits of information. Much like we take the letters on a Scrabble board and we assemble them into information. And they rode to Jerusalem in a big train with soldiers and horses and wagons and camels. And they rode because they saw the star, because they knew the things had happened, and they went. And these pagan kingmakers knelt before the infant King of Kings. And they acted out this drama to symbolize and confirm what was already true. That this baby was not merely king of the Jews. This baby was king of all people. And he was the Savior that they had been looking for and looking for and looking for. So what about us? Christmas time, and we read the story of the Magi who showed up and asked where the King of the Jews was to be born. If we peel back Christmas and we take off all the things that Charles Dickens has made it, and all the jumping off points that we've found to do this and to do that and whatever else in light of Christmas, and we get it down to baby and a manger. What's that mean for us? God put things in place far, far, far in advance. The book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, talks about someone who would rescue from our sins. Someone who would crush the head of Satan. God put things far in advance to guide these wise men. I don't know if you've ever tried to create a universe, but it is not something that you should try on your own. God put a universe together that somehow, at the right time, a star would appear. Whether it was a convergence of stars, like some scholars think, or a comet in the sky, like other scholars think, it doesn't matter. What matters is that God created a universe so at the right time, a star would appear. And these wise men were looking. So for us today, I want to remind us that God is at work. In the distant past, in our own past, in our present, God is at work. In our future, God is at work. to reveal to us and those around us who the baby in the manger really is. The wise men found Jesus because they were looking for him. They didn't stumble onto the stable with the manger. They were looking for the baby Jesus. So for us today, are we actively and on purpose looking for signs, looking for glimpses of God's activity and asking how we can join him? If we're looking for a king, it's easy to find one right here. It is easy for us to be king of our own life, or queen, if you prefer. But if we are really looking for the King of Kings, we'll find him. Because throughout time, God has provided glimpses of who he is. This is the part that really gets me about the Magi. They left and headed for Jerusalem before they knew where they were going to find Jesus. Look at the story. The story says they left where they were, about 800 miles away from Jerusalem, and they made that journey with all the horses and the soldiers and everything else. And they show up in Jerusalem and they say, "Where is the baby to be born? Where is the baby to be born?" They left their home without knowing. They left their home without having in mind the end of the destination. So I'm asking us today, are we holding back on following what we know God has for us because we're not sure where it's going to end? The Bible is full of stories of God speaking to people and saying, go, and not telling them where they're going. That God takes them step by step along the way until they find the place where God is leading. So I wonder, we have that habit, don't we? We have Garmins, for crying out loud. We tell the Garmin where we're going, and it takes us where we're going, and we want to live our lives like that. That we punch in the numbers, and boom, it takes us to the right place. And if I read this story right, the wise men left without knowing where the right place was. And they get to Jerusalem and they ask. So, let's continue reading. The wise men said, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" So everyone was upset. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. And they came up with the answer very quickly. "In Bethlehem." "In Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." There's your answer, wise men. You'll find the baby here in Bethlehem. The story goes that the wise men left and they traveled to Bethlehem and they found the baby and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three gifts. Gold is a gift that you bring to a king. Kings expect you to bring gold because that is the standard gift for kings. Frankincense is the gift that you bring to a priest because it is used in services to represent the presence of God. So we have gold, the gift for the king, and frankincense, the gift for a priest, and myrrh. Remember that I told you that Daniel wrote that the Messiah would be killed by the people? Myrrh is what you use to anoint a body before burial. The Magi knew this. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So what brings us here? Brings us to this part where I say, let us all be wise this Christmas time. Let us all look for signs, for glimpses of the glory of God. Come to visit us in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us, God incarnate. Let us look for the baby in the manger. Let's be wise. Let's look for God. And know that where He is going to take you is probably not exactly where you expect to go. Because that's how He works. Let's pray together. God, I thank You this day that the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Messiah, was not a random thing. I thank You that You are an on-purpose God who thousands of years before put things in place, who hundreds of years before left clues so that Jesus would be confirmed as the one that You had sent, so that Jesus would be confirmed as Emmanuel, God with us. Today, Lord, we come to You, certainly not always wise. We come to You very skilled at making ourselves kings and queens of our own life. And God, we confess that it is so very easy to do. And I pray, Lord, that this day, this Christmas season, we would celebrate You as King of Kings, our King, of Lord of Lords, our Lord. And God, I pray that You would make very clear to us the signs that You are giving, that we would follow You faithfully, that You would put aside our fear of not knowing the final destination, but You would lead us on journeys that would glorify You. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.